Last week, I said this was a two-parter, and so we're going to read all the verses that we talked about last week, and then we're going to read the ones that are for this week. And so let's go ahead and do that now. If you'll turn in your Bibles, if you haven't already, to Ephesians chapter 5. But let's start in verse 1, not verse 15. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and a sacrifice to God. But sexual immorality and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you, as is proper among saints. Let there be no filthiness, no foolish talk, no crude joking, which are out of place, but instead let there be thanksgiving. For you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure, or who is covetous, that is idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not become partners with them. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. And try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, 'Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you.'" And those are the verses we covered last week. And it was kind of ambitious to cover all those verses last week and have a smaller set of verses here. It's just these 15 through 21. Continuing that, it says, "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we read these words and we ponder them and we think about what they say and what they mean and how they intersect with our lives, Lord, just please give us clarity and just a soft heart to you and the work that you want to do in our lives, Lord. And I just pray that we all grow in wisdom and knowledge of you. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, so let's go back and look at those verses and talk about what they actually say. First, new verse that we're reading, starting in 15 today. I mean, keeping in mind the context is walk in love of Christ. And walk is a metaphor for living, how you live your life. So live in love of Christ. And the way that we live our lives really does matter. Now, we don't preach and teach that you have to live your life in a certain way, that's how you're saved. You begin to live that way because you're saved. It's a result. It's a byproduct. But when you truly come to Christ, you realize that you have a new life. You're a new person in Christ, a new creation. That's what the Bible tells us. There's an old you and there's a new you. And there are things that are not appropriate for the new you. That's the old you. But we have to confess that sometimes we still forget that and we still struggle and we go back and we live the life that's inappropriate. We do things that are not appropriate. And so, in this part of Ephesians, it's all about conduct, you know, how you live your life, because it really matters. He says, now that you're the church and you have this big job, which is to make God's wisdom known, you have this big job. The way you do it is by how you live your life, how you walk the walk. Now, your walk really matters, doesn't it? Who knows that saying about walking the walk and talking the talk? How does it go? You know, who knows it well enough they're comfortable to say it? I mean,
if you can't talk the talk, or no, if you can't walk the walk, don't talk the talk.
It's along that lines, okay? There's another version. You know what, Jeremiah?
I think so. It's like you walk the walk, but you
walk talks, but he talk talks, but he walk talks, but not really talk talks.
That's the one I was thinking about.
Never heard that.
Never heard that one.
Never heard that one.
So let's work on this a little bit. Help me out, Jeremiah. Help me out. You see why I needed help? Because I was going to try it, but I was going to get tongue-tied. Start. Yeah, just help lead us in this, okay?
Your walk talks.
Your walk talks.
And your talk talks.
And your talk talks.
But your walk talks.
But your walk talks.
Louder than your talk talks.
Amen. So your walk really matters. I mean, you can say everything. You can have the fish on your car. You can have the WWJD bracelet. You can have the Christian t-shirt and the cross necklace and every emblem that says, hey, I'm a Christian. And you can say and you can go and you can share the truth with people. But what really going to matter is how you live your life and how you walk. And, you know, you can come to church on Sunday and you can go to Awana on Wednesday, but God wants you to be the same person 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, and worship Him with your whole life. That's what matters. So that's why this has so much to do with how people live. It's not a matter of being initially saved, but in our salvation, God, He's starting something in us. He's changing us. He's shaping us into the image of His Son, Jesus Christ, to be more like Jesus. Okay, so that's kind of the context where this is. And he says, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And so just pausing there is this idea that he says, you want to be very careful about how you actually live your life. So that's something that we can take as followers of Christ. That we don't just live our life in just a reckless way. And we definitely don't say, oh, I'm saved. And because I'm saved, I can just do anything I want. Because that's not the message of the Bible. And if anyone talks like that or acts like that, then most likely they've misunderstood and they really don't have Christ. To truly have Christ and His Holy Spirit living in us makes us want to obey Him. Makes us want to do the right thing. He says, then look carefully how you walk and do it not as unwise person, but as wise. So you want to be a wise person. Every single one of us should be here. That should be our response to the Word of God here, that I want to live my life with wisdom. I want to be wise. Amen?
Amen.
Give me an amen if you're excited. Come on.
Amen.
That's what I'm talking about. Encourage me up here. Now, come on. All right, there we go. Look carefully how then you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. And here's what he says you got to do. He says, making the best use of the time because the days are evil. You need to make the best use of your time because the days that we live are evil. That's what the Bible says. And that's been true for a long time, ever since this is written. Now, if you look at this here, walking in love of Christ that we talked about means being wise. We want to be wise. I think a good definition of wisdom is we see things and we respond to them the way God would want us to respond to them and see them. Like, you can see your circumstance the way God wants you to see it. You know, for instance, if you're complaining about this and complaining about that, like the people of Israel did when God was bringing them up out of Egypt. And they said, you know, man, we had all kinds of free fruit and food, and we actually had meat back in Egypt. Wish you would have just left us in Egypt. Why'd you have to bring us out here into the wilderness to just die? You remember that? Have you read that in the Bible? That was complaining. That made God very angry. That was not wisdom. Wisdom was not seeing it from God's perspective that He would want us to have. And so we can do that in our lives too. But so it's walking, it's living this life in wisdom. And so a wise person realizes some things. A wise person realizes some things. And the first one there is that time is a limited commodity, limited and valuable commodity that must be spent wisely. Time is a limited and valuable commodity that must be spent wisely. Now, sometimes when you're young, you feel like you got all the time, that time's so long. I mean, if I said, you know what, you got to go to college for 4 years, and after that, you might be able to get a really nice job if you work hard and stuff. And when you're young, sometimes, 4 years? Oh my God, 4 years? What, 4 years? That's an eternity. Versus, you know, when you get older and you're looking back and you're thinking, man, I wish I invested in myself back then and worked hard. 4 years was nothing. 4 years goes by like a snap. Amen? So, different perspective, but the truth is it's very limited. Now, I've heard some things that have caused me to think about this. And one of them comes from this verse. Let's first look at Psalm 90:12. Psalm 90:12. Turn there in your Bibles, please. Put your finger where they are. I want to encourage you all to have your own Bibles and turn and follow along. I should hear pages turning. Old pastor of mine encouraged the congregation with this, said, if you ever go to a church and the pastor says, you know, turn your Bible to a certain verse and you don't hear the pages turning, you don't hear the leaves turning, then you should probably leave that church. So I hope this will be a kind of a church where we have our Bibles out and we turn and we're looking and we're there. But Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. To number our days. And I think, you know, what that would mean is to just know that they're limited, that they're significant, that they're important, and that we make the most of them, like it says here. Now, just a visual illustration that I heard from that was, what if I had one of those big jars and I had marbles in it? And in each one of those jars, we put a marble for every day you had left on this earth. And the fact is, we don't really know how many that would be, but let's just say that we did. We could put it there. And you saw, maybe some of us look, there's a lot of marbles. Somebody, there's like half the thing of marbles. Some of us, it's just down to the bottom. There's just a few marbles left. Amen? And every day you'd take a marble out and get it out of the jar and just watch that go smaller and smaller and less in the jar. And then I said, you know what? Every day is valuable. Every day is a valuable commodity. They're limited. You don't have infinite days. And you need to make the best use of every day that you have. Would it change your outlook on it if you could see that marble jar just going down, 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 down? No matter where it started from. If it started really, really, really big with lots of marbles, but when you start seeing, like, and you look at it, you're like, wow, look at all those marbles I've gone through. You'd think different about every day, wouldn't you? But see, that's what the Bible's telling us. It's saying you got to number your days. You got to know that they're limited. You got to know they're just like that marble you're pulling out. And you have to make the best use of every day that you have. And to make the best use of every day that you have is not just mean just have as much fun as you can have, but it means to know the truth, to grow in God, to let somebody else know the truth. You know, the fact is, you can gain all kinds of wealth and have all kinds of success in this world, but you can't take it with you where you're going. The only thing that we really could take with us is other people. And we don't do that alone. God does that, but we're used to say, you know, hey, God loves you. Sent His Son to die on the cross for you. He wants to forgive your sins. You need a Savior. No, you're not okay without Jesus. You need to know He's coming back again. And when He comes back, He's not coming like a little baby. He's coming like a conquering King. And you need to put yourself and align yourself with Him. And if you don't do that, you're not safe and you're not okay. And we have that opportunity to do that. And in doing that, we are used by God to bring other people to Himself and to be in that relationship. And so that's why I say, the only thing we can really do is bring other people to heaven with us. Amen? And it's not just to be in heaven, but it's to have that relationship with God while we're here on earth too. But we're able to do that. But our time is limited. You know, we can see this, I think, you know, as parents. I can't believe that I have a son in college already. He's been there a number of years, and I got another son who's about to graduate high school. And the other, I remember when those guys were just so little. What happened? Time. You know, it's another thing about time I want to tell you is that it doesn't matter how rich you are. You can't buy more time. In fact, most people that, as far as this earth, are very successful people, they have all the money that they need, but the one thing that they're really lacking is time. They can't do all the things that they or that could possibly do or want to do or are needed at. And sometimes we're really poor money-wise, but there are other times in life when we realize what we're really poor in is time. We just don't have the time to do what we want to do. Amen? Anybody like that now? Anybody feel poor in time right now? Don't have enough time. I mean, but you cannot buy more time. Now, sure, you can buy like a, you know, one of those personal assistants or something like that to help you in different things. But you still, to you, hey, how many seconds are there in a minute? Same as for me. Same as for everybody else. How many hours in a day? 24. When we all got to sleep. And we all wake up a little bit older, right? Can't buy more days. Can't say, you know what, I want to buy some more days. Now, man's been trying to do that, you know, find the fountain of youth or something like that. That was a big thing a long time ago, you know, thinking that way. They have movies about it and things. But you can't get it back. Now, James 4, 13 through 17, let's just look at that real quick. Just to the right of where we were. And there's a particular verse in here that kind of gives us an idea of what time is like for us. It says, "Come now, you who say today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a town and spend a year there and trade and make a profit. Yet you do not know what tomorrow will bring. What is your life? For you are a mist that appears for a little time and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. As it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So whoever knows the right thing to do and fails to do it, for him it is sin." And the verse, though, that I'm focusing on there is, what is your life? It's a mist. It's here today and gone tomorrow. Amen? You want to make the most use of it. And also you want to know that you want to live your life with a sense of urgency. There's a sense of urgency that we have to have because of this. And if we understand this, it gives it to us. But that goes back to being a wise person. So if you're a wise person, you understand these things. And we all should here want to be wise people. All right. Now, the second thing that he said was, the days that we live in are evil days. What makes these days evil days? And why was it true when he wrote it? And why has it been true ever since? Because man systematically is trying to eliminate God from things. And eliminate God from their lives and do everything in a very secular way and not really care about what God has to say, what God has done, what He has promised, what His plan is, to just ignore that and disregard that and to live a life without God and to have the pride to think that we did this ourselves, we could do it. And that's why when I prayed this morning, I was acknowledging to God that I don't want to be a prideful person. I don't want to be that person that says, look what I did, look what I can do, because I know I can't do anything without God. I have no success without God. He deserves credit for everything. You know, if you are a very intelligent person, praise the Lord. God really blessed you with that. But that was His doing. He didn't have to. He could have given you different intelligence. So it's not something to be prideful about. It's something to give Him glory for. All right, but the days we live are evil. And we could see that more and more today in where we live. The idea is to take God out of the picture. You know, take prayer out of the school. That happened, remember that? Much as possible, they want to do that. You know, there are certain things about it. They want to eliminate the ability to talk about Christ in places. We have this thing about separation of church and state, which is totally not even what it was intended to be. It was intended to protect the church from the state. But it's turned all around. And so the idea is that you can't do anything involving the church in public places, in public institutions. That's the way it's exercised. And so there's great intimidation, and then there's people that will rise up against you, against people to try to stop them, you know, sue them and different things. And so it's a very rough environment out there. But the reason is because the days are evil, and it's because of the godlessness that is in people that want to live life without God and want to try to make everyone else do that too. Okay, that's why the days are evil. And everything that you think about that's going on is just a symptom of that. You just take any like one thing, you know, any one issue or something like that. You know, we don't have to key in on any one issue, but we know it comes down to a rejection of God and a godlessness that is out there. Thinking about what evil is. What is evil? What is good and what is evil? Good is everything that God stands for. God's presence and who He is and His character. What is evil? It's a lack of God. It's a lack of His character. It's a lack of His presence. It's the opposite of who He is and what He wants. So that's why the days are evil. Now, I put up here, the days we live in are evil, so we need to seek holiness for our lives. What we should desire is holiness. Holiness is to be set apart for God and His purpose. Even though the days are evil, even though every other person doesn't want to follow God, we should want to follow God and we should want to be set apart for His purpose. Amen? Okay, so get back into the passage. It says, therefore, do not be foolish. Be wise, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Now you think about this. He's saying, be wise, understand the will of the Lord. A wise person strives to understand the will of the Lord. So if you want to be a wise person, you want to try to understand God's will. And when I say to understand God's will, I don't mean you're driving down the road and you say, should I go left or should I go right? I wonder what God's will is on that. If I turn down Elm Street or I turn down Sycamore Street. And every single thing I'm going to always, oh darn, I took the wrong turn. God wanted me to go down Elm Street. You know, I don't mean like that. And I don't necessarily even mean per se like, you know, hey, does God want me to take this job or that job or buy this house or buy that house? I mean, those things are important and significant. But I want to mention some things here, other aspects of God's will, His sovereign will. I want to know and understand God's sovereign will. What that means sometimes is like, what I want to have happen doesn't happen. But I realize it wasn't God's will, and I understand it, and I'm good with it. Amen? And I think that as believers in Christ, we walk with Him, we can look back in our lives and we can see many times where we were really upset about something, but then later on we can look back at it and realize God was working through it. And God brought us through it and He did it. I had a group of football players in here on Friday. I have a really, really nice group of young men from Bethel. I'm sorry if you don't go to Bethel or you go to another school or something, but football team there. I really like this group this year, and I do a chapel with them before their football game and things. And I was talking with them and sharing with them this last week. And I was talking with them. I have to find myself. I got so excited about the whole Bethel and the football thing. This happens to me sometimes. Don't worry. It's okay. Things are good. What was I saying right before that? Before Bethel football. Sovereignty of God. Oh, things don't always go. Yes. No, I know. Thank you. All right. Okay. So, I'm just a real person. Just a regular, you know. What was I saying? No, I'm just joking. No, I was telling these guys about God's will and how things don't go our way sometimes. And I shared with them this story about when I was in college. I had this interview with UPS. This is when I was at Pierce College. And they came to Pierce College, and the job was paying three times more than what I was making at fast food. And so I was very excited to get this job. And they liked me. And so he called me. He said, you come back for the second interview tomorrow. And in the paper he handed me, it said something on it, like 5 a.m. But I'm pretty sure, I thought for sure that he pointed at it and said, that's 5 p.m., not 5 a.m. And that's how my mind processed it. And so I came back at 5 p.m. and I was looking for this guy, and I go, oh, he's gone. He went home. He's on the early shift. He's not here. And then it kind of hit me. I was like, that doesn't make sense. Maybe he said 5 a.m., like the paper says. And I went back at 5 a.m. that next morning. And they were in the room having their orientation and things. And I said, hey, I'm sorry about this confusion. I thought you had said 5 p.m., not 5 a.m. And he said, yeah. He said, you know what? If you can't make it on time the first day of work, you're not UPS material. And I had to walk out of there with my tail between my legs, my head down, get in my car, drive around Tacoma, feel really low, feel really bad, thinking I really, really blew that. And just why would that happen? And because I really, really wanted to wear that brown uniform. I thought, I could, like the shorts and everything, I could picture myself doing that, you know. Because those are cool, aren't they? You gotta admit, you know. But the thing is, when I look back on it, then see, after that, I decided to go to Eastern Washington University and major in computer science and study there. And that took me to Adobe systems and eventually to here, you know. It's kind of a long, drawn-out path. But I do know that most likely if I got that job at UPS, I probably wasn't going to go to Eastern. I probably would have stayed there, keep working that job at UPS. And maybe right now I'll be still working at UPS. Who knows? I don't know. But I have no regrets now looking back about it. I learned from the experience. Yes, I felt bad. I see, though, why God did it. I mean, why He allowed me to do it. I mean, God could have let me hear that clearly and right. You know, what I wanted a job that paid three times more than what I was making. But, you know, sometimes that's just the way it goes. And God is good. Amen? We just keep believing Him. But we can look back. Now I can look back and I don't even worry about it all. But God has a sovereign will. And you know what? I know that it was not His will for me to be wearing the brown. Okay, God has a moral will. A moral will for our lives. Like He says, do not do this. That's His will. That's His moral will for our lives. You know, as we read and we study the Bible, there are things we don't have to pray about everything. Like where it says, do not steal. I don't have to, like if I'm presented the opportunity to steal something, I don't say, well, I have to pray about that first. See what God's already spoken. He's already told us. That's why we have to know the Bible. That's why this all this stuff about conduct in Ephesians tells us. God has already spoken on so many things. The question is not, has He spoken to us? It is, are we listening to His Word and what He says? And that's to know His will, His moral will for your life. And these are the two aspects of the will that I say that a wise person needs to try to understand. Now, the passage goes on and it says, and do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And he, remember we just talked about moral will. Do not do this. The Bible has a lot of do nots because they're not good for us. He says, do not get drunk with wine. That is not okay in the new life as a Christian. Maybe you did that before. Maybe that was the life that you lived before. But in the new life, we do not get drunk with wine. And this is specific. He's saying this at a point in history. Wine was the issue. But I think it would just as much say, get high on drugs. We don't do that as Christians. That's not consistent with the new life of Christ. Amen? And so that's not what we're to do. But instead, we are to be filled with His Holy Spirit. So don't be filled with drugs and alcohol. Be filled with God and His Holy Spirit. Now, it is largely a matter of influence is a good word. Influence. It's a matter of influence. God does not want us to be under the influence of alcohol or drugs. But to be under the influence of the Holy Spirit. Now, I will tell you, I put this just for your understanding to see, influence isn't enough of a word for what we're to be of the Holy Spirit. We're not just to be influenced by Him, but actually controlled by Him. I may have something on that here in just a moment, but I'll point that out. But if you drink alcohol or take drugs and you get yourself in an altered mental state, then you're under control of that in that mental state and your inhibition's down and it leads to debauchery is what it says there. So as we look at this, like I said, this would apply to drugs and anything else that influences you negatively, I would say. Any other kind of influence. And maybe that could be the desire to be popular and liked, that you're so intoxicated with that you don't think clearly. Okay, those kind of things. Things that, anything like that, that influence. What has influence over you? Okay, being under the influence or drunk or high leads to out of control sin, which that's the debauchery and that's what causes great harm to you. Amen? Amen. And so, it's a choice that we make when we allow those things into our lives and we do those things. Like the Bible doesn't say thou shalt not ever have a glass of wine or a beer or something like that. It doesn't say that. That's legalism. Because when you go above and beyond what's actually written, you say, here's what it is, that's you're being legalistic. Amen? We don't want to do that. We don't want to be legalistic. But what it says is do not get drunk, do not be under the influence of, do not alter your mental state. There's something better you can do with your life, and that is to be filled with God's Holy Spirit. Now, number four here is what I just said. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. But let's talk a little bit about what that means, to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Okay. First of all, let me put on my Greek scholar hat here. It's a present imperative in the original Greek. Got that? Know what that means? It's an imperative. That means it's a command. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. We think of that a lot of times as like, okay, rather than drinking, maybe I'll be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's a good idea. Every once in a while I'll do that. No, it's a commandment to us. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. That means it's for every single one of us. It's not just for like superstar people. It's for everyone to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's the imperative part. Oops, messed up on my numbering there. But it's the present tense means now and continually. So be filled with the Holy Spirit now and continually be filled with the Holy Spirit. Don't stop being filled with the Holy Spirit. That's God's will for our lives. So we're to continually be filled by Him and His Spirit. And then don't be under the influence of drugs or alcohol, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. Being filled by the Holy Spirit goes beyond being under the influence. Instead, it means being completely under His control. And so if I'm under the control of the Holy Spirit, and let's say something happens that I don't like, and believe me, I'm not always under control, complete control of the Holy Spirit, but I want to be. This is what I want to live. Something happens that I don't like. I don't respond in the flesh by just yelling at somebody or snapping or hitting somebody or saying hurtful things or shooting. And many times, though, our initial response might be in the flesh, and then we need to remember, we need to pray, God, I want to respond to this in Your Spirit. Help me respond. So we can be more forgiving. We can be more loving. We can be more kind. We can be more gentle with people. Amen? And then as we mature and we grow, we walk more and more in the Spirit, and then we're filled by Him and His Spirit. And then the other thing I think about being filled is we're not lacking. When you're filled with God's Spirit, I mean, you're not lacking. You don't need anything else but God and the Spirit living in you. You're filled. And He gives you the life. He gives you an abundant life that just overflows, and there's much joy and goodness to share with other people. That's what it's like to be in that relationship with God and to be filled by His Spirit. Okay, so 19 says, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And when we look at that, and also submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. As we look at that, there are four signs of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Four results, four things we can see in ourselves and others that come as being filled with the Holy Spirit. So the first one is spiritually edifying conversation and talk to each other. I use conversation, but it's probably more than just that. But it's how we use our words in our mouths. We do it in a way that when we see each other, we build each other up. We share psalms and hymns, and we have the spiritual conversation. We have what's called soul talk. Amen? That means soul, like the inner person, soul, like what is good for you. We have that kind of talk and communication with each other. Now, what kind of comes natural to most of us guys is like we get together, and like we always do this, like every Saturday morning. It's like we almost always start talking about football or something, and then we talk, you know what? Wouldn't it be so much better if we were as excited about Jesus, and we talk about Jesus, right? And then a lot of times, honestly, we keep talking about football, you know, at the end. Talk about football some more, you know. That was kind of like yesterday, wasn't it? I was thinking about that. We started talking about some football. We had a good study. We had this part where we were talking about how we don't want to make that our source of devotion. Then we were talking about football documentaries and videos and different things. But we cannot just talk about the weather. We cannot just talk about football. We cannot just talk about pretty leaves and flowers and those kind of things that you ladies like to talk about. We've got to talk about the Lord, build each other up, strengthen each other. My favorite thing is always the women's retreat and the leaves. And I try to like make that announcement, but it's so much better when Ann talks about the leaves because she just has a passion for it. And me, I just try. I try to mention it, you know. So, spiritually edifying conversation. Okay. Come on, guys. Slow me down. Singing to God from our hearts. Now, you could come to church and you could sing and it can never really truly be from your heart. But when this passage talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit and singing, it is talking about singing to God. It says from your heart. You sing those songs from your heart. Like the song, one of the songs that was coming to my mind when I was thinking about this was about God's holiness, where we sing, holiness is what I long for. Holiness is what I need. There's a singing that where you just go through the motions and you just sing it, and then there's a singing that where that is your prayer. You want God's holiness. And that is really a call that comes from your heart. And so that is a response of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you are getting excited now to sing this last song we're going to sing? Do we have a closing song today?
No.
Yeah, no? Okay. That was funny. Humor is allowed here. We like humor. Okay. Then the next one, the next of the four signs is thankfulness in all things. Thankfulness in all things. To be a thankful person, no matter what the circumstances, but to still give thanks to God. Now that doesn't mean, like this can be taken like way out of proportion. Like somebody says, okay, you know, some guy completely destroyed my car, and I have to really give thanks to God for that. Well, no, I think in that circumstance, you give thanks to God for your safety, for what He's going to teach you through it, that you're just thankful. Okay, like if some person just does a violent act against you, you know, it's not like, oh, let's stop and pray and thank God for that. But in the midst of all these things, you can still be a thankful person and give thanks to God and what He's doing, because you can hold on to that promise that God works all things together for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. Amen. So you know He's always working in every circumstance. Okay, so we don't have to in any way be fake about that. And then the fourth one is mutual submission, which means that we submit to one another out of reverence for Christ, that as believers, we submit to each other. We care about what we think and what our needs are and what our opinions are and what we say should happen. And this begins to set us up for what we're going to go into next when we talk about marriage. That even though in the marriage scripture it talks about the wife submitting to the husband, that among believers there's always a mutual submission and gentleness and care for each other. That has to be there first. And that comes before the other submission. And if we're filled with the Holy Spirit, let's say that I'm filled with the Holy Spirit and... Destiny is filled with the Holy Spirit. We're filled with the Holy Spirit. Then we actually care about each other. And, you know, that's where you're not, one person doesn't lord over or mistreat or argue. Like, or when there are differences, like, then you work on them in the Holy Spirit. Or let's take one of the guys. Let's say this guy here in the Rams shirt here. We can see past that, right? In the Holy Spirit. We can both be filled with the Holy Spirit, okay. But we have a mutual submission for one another. And that's, when that is lacking, that is a sign that someone's not filled with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Alright, so you guys, do you want to be wise people?
Yes.
Do you want to make the best use of every day that you have and live it for Jesus? Do you want to be filled with His Holy Spirit? And do you want there to be that kind of evidence in your life?
Yes.
Let's pray. Lord, thank You for this morning. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for this just incredible book that we're just taking so much truth from. Help us, change us, shape us, make us what You want us to be. It's in Your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.